wouldn't be fair. This year I'm giving like one-line introductions. I haven't done it fast. So it's Rabbi Kurzner, also a warm friend and colleague. A pleasure to have him. And Rakesha. And a neighbor. A good neighbor.
Now that Tisha B'Av is here, of course, one of the thoughts that always comes to mind is that we hope that the Lashana Haba be Yerushalayim, next year should be in Yerushalayim, and that Mashiach should come. And of course, we also know that there's 13 principles of faith that were established by the Rambam, and the 12th principle is that we believe in the coming of Mashiach. And the question that I think has to be asked, and the title of my subject is Now. So I'll say that we have to believe that Mashiach will come now. The question is, why did the Rambam put that in his 13 principles of faith? Why is that important to be part of what he considers someone who's nichnas, as he says, b'chal Yisrael, to enter the Jewish people, you have to be someone who believes in that. He wasn't forced to. His 13 principles are based on the Mishnah in Sanhedrin and Perek Chelek. And there it says three things, really. Then there's some additional ones, but the Rambam based on three things. That if you deny that the Torah is min ha-shamayim, the Torah is not from heaven. If you deny tchiyas ha-mesim min ha-Torah, you deny that the resurrection of the dead can't be from in the Torah, or you're an apikoros. An apikoros is a very broad category, as we all know. Many of us in this room have been called one. So apikoros could be many, many things. But simply the apikoros are things which are of a heretical nature, talking about the nature of our relationship with God and our belief in God. And the Rambam adds the idea of Mashiach. And for one, Rabbi Yosef Albo in his Sefer Yikarim says, no, that it's very nice, it's very important to believe in something like Mashiach, but it's not an ikrei hadas, it's not a principle of faith. And he brings a proof from the Gemara that says Rabbi Hillel says Mashiach already came, and he's not coming anymore. So you don't necessarily have to be. And Rabbi Hillel, I'm sure he says, has chelek olam haba, has a portion of the world to come, even though he didn't believe that Mashiach was going to come. So the Rambam didn't have to say it. He wasn't forced to say it. So he must have included it for a very specific reason. It must fit in with his philosophy. And I think it's important to understand that what the Rambam believes these 13 principles of faith actually do. These 13 principles of faith, as the Rambam says, after he finishes listing them, says, "Kashayam in ha'adam eila yasodas kulam," when a person believes in these foundational beliefs, "v'nisbara munasavahem," and it's clear his belief in them, not just stating them, by the way, it has to be clear, you have to understand it, "hu nichnas b'chal Yisrael," he enters, as I mentioned before, the category of being a Yisrael, "umitzvah la'av olarachem alav," and you're obligated to love him and to have mercy on him, and he goes on, I'm skipping Vafilu awesome, and he says even if you do one of the averus machmas hatayve because of desire you're punished, but avoyesh lo chelak olam haba, but you still have a portion in the world to come. Now the Rambam is saying this not just because he's saying, well, great, you have a portion in the world to come, but he's defining the Mishnah. This is going back to the Mishnah which he's commenting on. Of in the beginning of Perek Chelek, Kol Yisrael Yeshlem Chelek Lam Haba. Every Yisrael has a portion in the world to come. So who is a Yisrael that has a portion of the world to come? Not every Jew who is born, but everyone who believes in these 13 Yesodos. If you believe in these 13 principles, then you nichnas b'chlal Yisrael, you enter into the category of Yisrael. Then we say Kol Yisrael Yeshlem Chelek Lam Haba. Every Yisrael has a portion of the world to come. The purpose of these 13 principles is to make you a what we call, quote-unquote, a Yisrael. And by the way, the Rambam says, it doesn't say Kashayamin Yisrael. It's not a Jew who believes it. Kashayamin ha'adam eila ha'yisodus kulam. Any human being who accepts these principles is nichnas b'chal Yisrael. Because the Rambam, we know, holds chasidi umasa olam yeshlam chelukum haba. And not only the Rambam, it's a Gemara, but the Rambam says it over and over again. In many places, that those that are pious of the nations of the world also have a portion of the world to come. So that's what you get, how you get your world to come. That's how you get your Olam Haba. And so therefore, you have to believe this in order to get your Olam Haba. if you're believing it in order to get your Olam Ba, we have to define. So what is Olam Haba according to the Rambam? And again, simply, anyone who's familiar with some of the Rambam knows, and I'll quote here from Hilchas Tshuva, but it's in a number of places, Kach Amru Chacham HaRishonim. So this is what the early sages said, Olam Haba Ein Lo Achilov, Lo Shtiyov, Lo Tashmish. The world to come has no eating, no drinking, and no marital relations. Al Tzadikim Yoshvim, Vatroseim, Vrasheim. But Tzadikim are sitting, and their crowns are on their head, V'nen Miziv HaShchina, and they're enjoying the light of the Divine Presence. Skipping. That, what does it mean when it says you have enjoyment from the presence, the light of the presence of God? That they know and they understand, they comprehend the truth of God. Which they did not know when they were in a lowly body. According to the Rambam, Olam Haba is Yediyas Hashem, is knowledge of God, is knowing God. It's knowing something about God. So the first four of the principles of faith are knowing the essence of God and how to define God. And that's what Olam Haba really is. Now, this is actually a radical idea that the Rambam promotes, because when you read the Mishnah in Chelek, which he's talking about, it says that why does somebody who denied Tchiyas HaMeisim Ein Lo Chelek Olam Haba, why someone who denies resurrection doesn't have a portion in the world to come? Because if someone denies it, then you don't get it. If you deny resurrection, you don't get resurrection. The Gemara is clearly implies that Olam Haba is the resurrection of the dead. You'll be resurrected and you'll live forever, and that will be your future world. The Rambam, quite radically, but was actually successful in retranslating the idea of Olam Haba, that he says that Olam Haba is not Tchiyas HaMeisim, but rather Olam Haba is the spiritual world, or the world of your soul, when you have immortality of soul, and that soul has Yediyas Hashem, has knowledge of God. You become one with God. Excuse me. You have become one with God in your knowledge of God. That's what Olam Haba is. How the Rambam explains that Gemara, which I just mentioned, is another topic, which is important. But the Rambam changes the definition of Olam Haba. So Olam Haba is knowledge of God, and therefore knowing God is what really our tachlis is, our goal is. And therefore, having any one of these beliefs is important in order to know God. So you have to ask yourself a question, very simply: how does belief in Mashiach bring to knowledge of God? In other words, if you're thinking Mashiach is a national salvation, is going back to the land and building the temple, which it is, all of these things are. But if that's the purpose and that's the goal, how does that enhance our knowledge of God? By believing this, we understand God. What does that mean exactly? And again, the answer is quite simple in the Rambam. The Rambam says, a few pages before that, when he's discussing Mashiach, before he lays down the principles, he says that HaToeles HaGadola Shatiyah Bosom Hayom, he's referring to the days of Mashiach, the ultimate goal which will be in those days, is that Shenenuach Mishivud Malchios, that we should have rest from the control of other kingdoms, Shumaneo Son of Messias HaMitzvahs Kulam, which stops us from performing the mitzvahs. But here's the important part: Vatir B'Hachachma, and wisdom will be increased, as it says, Kimala Aretz Deyas Hashem, because the land will be full of knowledge of God. And he doesn't have quote the whole thing, but Kamayim Machasim Liyam, just like the water covers the sea. And we will no longer have war. And he quotes a pasuk, and therefore we'll have shleimus rabba v'nizke b'alachay olam haba. And then we'll be at peace. We'll have no war. We'll have wisdom. And then we're free to study. We're free to understand. We're free to have philosophize. We're free to think about God. We're no longer burdened with the burdens that we have in everyday life, or the suffering. And that's all the things that we are concerned about, which typically, popularly, we want Mashiach. Those things are necessary, but only as a necessary tool in order to acquire knowledge of God and therefore get your Olam Haba, which is having knowledge of God. So therefore, Mashiach gives us the opportunity to know God. It's very simple. And the Rambam goes on, he says, we don't desire and hope for the days of Mashiach because we want abundant crops or wealth. We don't want to necessarily ride on horses. I personally don't have that desire anyway. Well, not to drink wine with all kinds of music. It's not like those people who are confused thing, but rather he goes on to say that the prophets and the Hasidim, the pious ones, desire Yemos Mashiach in order that there should be a gathering of tzaddikim and there should be wisdom, and that at the end, I'm just again paraphrasing, at the end he says, V'eil anyanim, and through all these things, Yasigu ha'olam haba hasagag hazaka. You could be able to have a great, strong comprehension of olam haba. Again, it's knowledge. Because we're able, that's why we want Mashiach. Not for national salvation, although that might be important. Not to relieve us from suffering, although that might be important. But rather, the ultimate goal is knowledge of God. So then you have to ask a question. Okay, that's very good. We want to know God, and therefore we want Mashiach to bring us to that point. But what happens if you can you know God without having Mashiach? Is it possible that maybe even without miracles of Mashiach, which we'll talk about a little later, or without the Gilui Shechina, the divine presence being known to everybody, is it possible that someone like the Rambam or others or prophets in earlier times could have a great Yediyas Hashem? Certainly Moshe Rabbeinu, the Rambam held, had a great Yediyas Hashem, had knowledge of God, greater than anybody who ever lived or will ever live, including Mashiach. So therefore, you could have Yediyas Hashem without Mashiach. So why is Mashiach a necessary element to have a necessary belief? It's nice to say that it will make it easier for some, and it might be make it possible for many people who would never have an opportunity to think about these things. But is it necessary? Is it a necessary belief in order to get Yediyas Hashem? So, and again, there are many people who say, if you're lucky and you have no problems, you have time to study, maybe a rich father-in-law, you don't need Mashiach. That is Mashiach. You don't have to hope for his arrival. All you need is time to sit and study and be a great philosopher and learn Torah. So I think the answer, again, is somewhat simple, that the Rambam, even though he's saying that Yediyas Hashem, and this is a point I left out before, is really an individual knowledge of God, right? Because you don't have knowledge of God on a communal level. Everybody has their own knowledge. It's not just the Beis HaMikdash is built and therefore everyone's on that high madrega, that high level. It has to be every individual. So we want to create a system and a type of community which everyone could have Yediyas Hashem, but ultimately it's an individual quest that we have to know God. But the Rambam still holds that if we recognize the need for other people, or we should recognize the need for other people to also have the knowledge of God, we have a communal responsibility to make sure that there is Yediyas Hashem. And as if we have a great knowledge of God, we'll also know that that's what God wants. And that's what it is to know God, is to know that God is in all creation, and therefore all creation has to come to recognize God. So therefore, it's not just our own need, we have a need to understand the need of the community. And the Rambam says this in many times, where he says we have an obligation. He says it by all human beings. Moshe Rabbeinu, this is in Hilchos Malachim, Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded by Piagvur Lachov as Kol Bayolim to force anyone who enters the world, meaning any human being, Lakabel Mitzvah Shinistabu B'nei Noach, to accept the mitzvahs that B'nei Noach, the seven mitzvahs of Noach. And whoever accepts those mitzvahs and is careful in them, he goes on to say, Mechasidim Masa'olam, V'yeshlo Chelikolam Haba. He's from the pious of the nations of the world and he has a portion of the world to come. So it's important. And we have to force people, whatever that means. That's another discussion. What does the Rambam mean here? But simply, we have an obligation to try to create that. And even if you look in Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam lists 24 people who don't have a portion of the world to come. The first 13 are the people who don't accept the 13 principles of faith. But what are the other 9? And if you look at the other 9, you'll see they're all things which have to do with our obligation to other people. Those people who speak Lashon Hara, people, even somebody who deny mitzvahs, the Rambam puts it in terms of, if you deny mitzvahs and you're a mumar l'davar echad, you're a heretic that you don't accept the mitzvah, and you attach yourself to the non-Jewish belief system, or you are mafarsim, you spread the word that you don't accept these things, or chotei machti arabim is one of them, someone who sins and causes others to sin. So if you look at those other 9 categories in the laws of tshuva, I believe it's in the third parak, you'll see that they're all tied to our communal responsibility that other people also have to know these 13 principles of faith. So Therefore, now it starts to make sense that, yes, Mashiach is a necessary belief because it has to. We have to create a world where people could have Yedias Hashem, not just be selfish in our own for our own needs. But then again, I think you could ask a question that then it should be sufficient to hope for and maybe even to cause Mashiach to come. But the Rambam, which I failed to read in the beginning, the Rambam's language is actually that you have to believe. You have to believe not only that he will come, that you have to believe that not only do you hope for him to come, you have to believe that he will come. You have to believe and hold as a truth that he will come. And you shouldn't think that he will delay, and if not, you have to hope for him. And therefore, he's saying very clearly, the Rambam says, that you have to believe he will come. So why is that a belief? It might be beautiful, and it might be helpful, but why would that be a belief which gives you your chelek olam haba, your portion of the world to come, that your knowledge of God? You have to want it. You're trying. I work my whole life. I teach people. Spread the word of Torah. Spread the Shevet Mitzvot B'nai Noach. We could do all kinds of things and try to cause it. But why do we have to have a belief for sure that Mashiach will come? This is a strange idea that the Rambam really presents. That's one problem I want to leave on the table for a minute. So that's problem number one, that we have to believe Mashiach certainly will come. Problem number two is the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva says the following: Kvar havticha Torah, the Torah has already promised us, Shesof Yisrael lasis tshuva b'sof galuson, that the Jews will eventually do tshuva, they will repent at the end of their exile, umiyad heinin galin, and immediately upon doing tshuva, they'll be redeemed, as it says, when all of these things happen to you, the punishments that are mentioned in Devarim, it says, v'shavta Hashem alakecha, you will return, meaning the Jewish people will return to the Lord your God, v'shav Hashem alakecha, and God will return you to the land. So the Rambam sees in that Mashiach, the source for believing in Mashiach in the Torah. He mentions this also in his principles. There's two places in the Torah he mentions, the prophecy of Bilam, and this and these psukim in Nitzavim, and these the Rambam therefore says now that not only will Mashiach come if we do tshuva, which is a necessary condition it seems, but also that the Torah promises us shesof Yisrael lasa tshuva, that the Jews will do tshuva. We know for sure. So the Rambam is consistent that not only do we have to believe, this is a fact. And where does the Rambam get this idea from? Was actually a Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, talking about Mashiach, page after page, talking about Mashiach, there's an argument there between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Elazar says, "Im Yisrael osin tshuva negalin, v'im lav ein negalin." If the Jews do tshuva, they will be redeemed, and if not, they won't be redeemed. In other words, Mashiach doesn't have to come, according to Rabbi Elazar. If we do tshuva, fine. But if we don't do tshuva, Mashiach will not come. Amalei Rabbi Yeshua says, Ameinos and tshuva, ein and galen. I think you can read it that way. If you don't do tshuva, if they don't do tshuva, we won't be redeemed? No, that's not possible. Elah HaKadosh Baruch Hu ma'amid lehem melech, shegzeiros of koshas kahaman. God will establish a king that his decrees are as harsh as Haman. The Yisrael osin tshuva. And the Jews, under that pressure, will do tshuva, machzir lemutav, and they'll go back to the proper way. That's the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Yeshua. Yeshua is saying, yes, you need tshuva. He's agreeing to Rabbi Eliezer, but the tshuva will certainly happen because God is going to make sure that causes us to do tshuva. Well, that's very nice, but there's a problem because the Rambam's opinion found throughout his works and very consistent is a motto the Rambam has, if there's any motto. It's Olam Kiminhaga Noheg. The world always conforms to its nature. It always goes along the natural path. We don't expect miracles. We expect things to go in a natural way. And the Rambam says this in regards to Mashiach numerous times. Just quote one of them. In Hilchos Malachim, the last two chapters of the Laws of Malachim, which is the end of the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, he says, Al Yala al Alev should be Yemosa Mashiach Yevatl Davar Min Haga Shalolam. Do not have a thought. Do not think that in a time of Mashiach, anything from the normal course of the world will stop. The world will go according to its natural course. And he goes on to say, Amru Chachamim, And the Chacham said, "Ein bein olam hazel imas Mashiach alashibin malchus b'vav." There's no difference between now, olam hazel meaning now, and the time Mashiach, except that we will no longer be under the dominion of foreign powers. Which, by the way, just as an aside, I always like to point out, he says the Chachamim say it. It's actually only the statement of one Chacham, Shmuel, I believe, in the Gemara. The Rambam, because he adopts it, uses the word, says it's the Chachamim here, rather than just one Chacham. But the Rambam establishes that as a given, and he says it numerous times. Don't expect miracles in time of Mashiach. When he says don't expect, it's possible that they could be miracles, as if you read the Igeres Teimon, the Rambam wrote a letter to the Yemenite Jews when there was a false Messiah, and he talks about Mashiach. If you'll read that, you'll come to a different conclusion from what I'm giving you now. But the Rambam does talk about the Mashiach bringing miracles. But as others have pointed out, probably what he means is that it's possible. And he's talking to a different crowd for a different purpose. But it might be possible, but don't expect it. And I think the Rambam held for sure there wouldn't be. But he wanted to leave that possibility open for people who need it. And therefore he doesn't deny the possibility. But whatever it is, the Rambam certainly doesn't hold that it's a belief that is a necessary belief, as the Yisod, Ikra Hadas, a principle of faith, to say that there will be a miracle. And therefore, the simple version of how Mashiach will come will be in a natural way. And the Rambam also says, important to note also that Yeshua, his opinion, when he says that Mashiach certainly has to come, seems to be aligned, the Gemara aligns it with the view of Rav. Right before this Brisa, which I quoted between the argument between Rabbi Elazar and Yeshua, whether Mashiach will come when we do tshuva or God will certainly make us do tshuva, it says like this: Amar Rav, much later, Amarayim said, Amar Rav, kolu kol akitzin, all of the kitzin, all of the ends which are predicted, which the Gemara had gone through a whole bunch of different possibilities of when the kates, when the end time will come and Mashiach will come, they're all gone. It's completely now dependent on repentance and good deeds. In other words, Rav is saying, if we do it, we'll bring Mashiach. Forget the cates. It's not happening without us making it happen. That's Rav. The Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says, it's sufficient that an avil, that a mourner has his mourning period. It's got to end sometime. We can't allow it to go on forever, Shmuel says. Shmuel says, there has to be an end. Then the Gemara goes on to say, Kitanai, it's like the machlok, it's like the argument of the earlier rabbis, the Tanayim, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Eliezer said, no, it's dependent on tshuva, and Rabbi Yeshua said, no, Mashiach certainly will come. So we know that Rav is like Rabbi Eliezer, Shmuel is like Rabbi Yeshua, and it seems that we have a problem now, because we have Shmuel who said, Ein bein limosa alolam hazeh, that there's no difference between now and when Mashiach comes, except we won't be under the dominion of foreign powers, and the Rambam understands it, I think, correctly, that there will not be any miracles. And then we have Shmuel says, no, there has to be an end. So how could there have to be an end? And the end we're now saying is like Rabbi Yeshua that says that we will have to do tshuva. Well, what happens if we don't do tshuva, right? We know a lot of people who live their whole lives and don't do tshuva. If many individuals could go their lives without doing tshuva, communally, we could also go with many, many years, as we already have, without doing tshuva. How could you say for sure it will happen unless you're saying God will force it? And he has to force it through. It would be a miracle, because the natural tendency is to allow us to do what we want. And that's another problem, because the Rambam says there's no such thing as being forced to do anything. The Rambam says in Hilchos Tshuva again, in the fifth parak, he emphasizes this to no end, and he spends two chapters defending this, that in Ikar Gadol, one of the biggest principles, and many people have the question, why didn't the Rambam even include this in his principles of faith? But we won't discuss that, but one of the main principles is that there's Bechira, that there's free choice. And there's nothing which stands in the way of free choice. And the Rambam goes on to explain how all the different instances in the Torah which seem to imply that there's no free choice don't mean that. We'll discuss that in a little while. But the Rambam held this idea of free choice very dear to him. It was very dear to him, and there's no way you could really compromise on this idea. So we have a problem. The Rambam didn't have to paskin like Rabbi Yeshua. He could have paskin like Rabbi Eliezer and say, no, if there's tshuva. He didn't have to have a principle of faith that Mashiach certainly will come. And it goes against his idea of free choice. It goes against his idea of Mashiach coming in a natural way. This seems to be consistent with the apocalyptic view of Mashiach coming, that a miracle will happen and God will cause things to occur. So how do we solve these problems? So, of course, there's the mystical approach promoted by, let's say, the Ramchal and others, that the world has a way of evolving and things just have to come. I'm not going to go into that too much, but the Ramchal, if you look in his Maimer HaYikarim, actually says, just very quickly, says, Omnam ein klal habriya mishtalam ach desader klal ha'uma nevcheres b'seidu nachem. Basically, the world has to work in a way which the chosen nation, which is the Jewish people, have to come to a shleimus, have to come to perfection. Now, that's part of the cosmic cycle that goes on, and there's no question about that. It has to happen. Everything is really fated in the mystical world. Really, a lot of free choice is somewhat of an illusion. And according to this idea, there's no problem understanding that part of that cycle, the history of the world. We start from Adam Arishon, we fall, we go through Mitzrayim, and eventually we come back to the time of Mashiach. This is a natural occurrence. When I say natural, I mean natural in the sort of the mystical view of the world. But in the Rambam, you have to realize that that doesn't really work. So let's go back to the Rambam and see how could we work this in the Rambam. We have to analyze the Rambam a little bit more. So first of all, when you read the Rambam, I read it to you before, that he says, Havticha Torah Shesof Yisrael Lasses Tshuva. The Torah promises us, guarantees us, that the Jews will do tshuva b'sof galus, and at the end of the galus. He doesn't quote Rabbi Yeshua accurately, if he's quoting Rabbi Yeshua. I assumed he's paskening, he's following the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua. But Rabbi Yeshua actually says, Ma'amid lahem melech kahaman. Right, that he will establish a king, Shagzairos of Kashas Kahaman, that his decrees are as harsh as Haman. Now the Rambam leaves that out. Now you automatically have to think the reason he left that out, because that would be a miracle. God intervenes in the course of history and establishes a specific king who's going to be very difficult. The Rambam leaves that out. He doesn't say that. He just says the Torah promises us that we will do tshuva. Okay. And not only that, but when you look at the proof text, Rabbi Yeshua goes on, there's another brisa brought in the Gemara where they have a back and forth between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Yeshua gives many proof texts that there certainly is a case, an end. He doesn't even talk about tshuva in all of his proof texts. He just talks about the fact that there's certainly an end. So Rabbi Yeshua has pasuk after pasuk after pasuk, which at the last one it says, when he said it to Rabbi Eliezer was quiet, which seems to be a reason why we should paskin like Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Eliezer seemed to have given in and accepted Rabbi Yeshua's argument that there is a case, that there is an end. When the Rambam says, Kvarvticha Torah, that we're going to do tshuva and we're going to be redeemed, you would have thought he'd bring one of those proof texts, because it would be consistent with his psak if he's following the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua. But he doesn't. He only brings the pasuk of V'shavta Hashem Elokecha, that we will return to God, and then V'shavta Hashem Elokecha, Hashem will return us to our land, which only says that you could read it that we certainly will do tshuva, but you could also read it as when we do tshuva or if we do tshuva, right? But that's all the Rambam says. So take note of that the Rambam is really not following this apocalyptic version of history, but rather somehow, hopefully you're getting the point here, somehow God knows that we'll do tshuva, and that's going to happen from a natural point of view. And that's the key here. That it's not a miracle. It's just something that will occur. But it's not a king all of a sudden arising that God appoints because he wants us to do tshuva. Now let's see how the Rambam deals with the problem of free choice. Now we know that there's many, as I mentioned before, there are many instances in the Torah which the Torah, which a Navi predicts something that's going to happen in the future. So how could the Navi predict something about that we are going to do if we have free choice not to do it? So the Rambam asks, it says, It says there's a pasuk v'kam ha'am hazeh, right? Moshe Rabbeinu says this people will get up v'zana achrei elohei necha haaretz, and they will be led astray after the false gods of the land. So the Rambam, this is the Rambam, and after he talks about free choice, he says, hey, Moshe is saying that for sure the Jews will stray after false gods. So he asks, Hare Gozar Yisrael, it seems that he was Gozer, that he was decreeing on the Jews that they certainly at one point will defy God and follow false gods. So the Rambam says, no, that's not true. Don't worry. The Rambam says, no, God never decrees on any particular individual. If he wouldn't want to, if I choose not to serve a false God, I don't have to choose. So what is God saying here? And he's not saying what you might think is that, oh, he's just decreeing on the people as a whole, because that's also a decree. Because maybe we all could choose together, collectively, not to do Avodah Zarah. So he says, V'lohodiyu habore elemin hago shalolam. God is only telling you the way, the normal course of the world. Hulamazah doma, what is it similar to? La'omer, if someone would say, ha'amzeh hazeh yebehen sadikim v'rishayim. You know what? There's going to be a people that are going to have, there's going to be good people and there's going to be bad people. And there's going to be, and he says about the Egyptians, never, God never said the Egyptians have to enslave us. Actually, if you look in the prediction, the Nevuah of Avram, of course, it doesn't even say Egyptians, which says that there's room for other things to happen. Again, it's just saying that this is the way the world works. God created a world where he knows it's statistics. We know there's going to be good people and there's going to be bad people. The Rambam, by the way, emphasized that also. He says, in the time of Mashiach, don't think everyone's going to be so great. You'll still have all the mitzvahs, you'll still have averus, and you'll have people who will still do averus. There'll still be, you know, there'll still be room for lawyers and judges and even prisons. There'll still be room. But there'll be less of it, perhaps. But there's always going to be that, because the nature of human beings is to sin and fall. Not every human being. But statistically, the nature of the world is that there'll be yiyat tzadikim v'rishayim. There'll be righteous people and there'll be wicked people. So Moshe is saying, you know what? They're going to happen. It's going to fall. V'kam amazeh achrei elohei necha haaretz. It's going to happen at one point in Jewish history. We're going to fall. We're going to worship idols. And again, we have to know, how does prophecy know what's going to happen? It's assuming, the Rambam's assuming that God has the ability, or prophets have the ability, to know the nature of people, to understand history, to understand the interconnectedness of everything, and to say, this will pretty much happen. I could pretty much be assured that this will happen. I like to predict, I guess when I first doing this, Detroit was called like the, you know, murder, what was it called? Murder City. There's other cities which actually have more murders. But it's, I could be a prophet. I could say, you know what? Next week there'll be a murder in Detroit, and it will come true. You say, great prophet. I say, no, I know there's going to be murders in Detroit. There's no way around. There might be 10, there might be 8, but there'll certainly be at least one or two. Everyone knows there's going to be a murder in Detroit. I think it's getting a little better, actually, in Detroit, at least. So Hashem knows the minhag ha'olam, the way the world's going to work. So now you have to ask, okay, now we're getting a hint of what's going on. But I'm saying God knows the way the world's going to work. He can predict we're going to fall. And therefore he predicts, that at the end we're going to do tshuva. How does God know that we're going to do tshuva? Why is the probability so high that collectively enough of us are going to do tshuva that the time of Mashiach will come? So I think now we have to go back to the beginning. We have to say, okay, what is the purpose of the time of Mashiach? If the purpose of Mashiach and their whole goal is national salvation, then I would argue that you can't possibly, and God would never predict that that's going to happen. If it, olam kemin hoga noeg, if the world's going to go according to its normal way, just go through Jewish history. And when the Rambam wrote it, the thought that the Jews would have Mashiach and have independence and have a state would be close to nil. Right, so it's hard to imagine, I might be wrong, but it's hard to imagine that the Rambam would say it's certainly going to happen just because it's obvious that the natural world works that way. Maybe God wants it. Maybe God will create a miracle. But if you're not relying on God's miracles, that won't necessarily happen. You know, Bizmanas, maybe today it's easier to make such predictions, but certainly through most of Jewish history and in the time of the Rambam, this wouldn't be a good prediction. But if the purpose of Mashiach is not national salvation, but the purpose of Mashiach is knowledge of God, we have to ask ourselves, what does it mean to have knowledge of God? And to very quickly, I would just say that, of course, God and truth are synonymous in the Rambam. The Rambam says, God is the Amita Shel Olam. He's the truth of the world. We have a Gemara that says, Chasam Hashal Kadosh Baruch Hu Emes. The seal of God is truth. God and truth are one and the same. So when you want Yedias Hashem, when you want Yedias, you want knowledge of God, what you really want is seeking truth. And that's why in the Rambam, seeking truth and knowledge of God is synonymous with philosophical truth. And when you open up the Rambam's Mishneh Torah, the very first chapters, that's what you see. You see his philosophy. He wrote his Guide for the Perplexed in order to make sure to get people down that path. The 13 principles of faith are there and is establishing them in order to make sure that people accept the truth about God, the truth about God and his world. But his world is a reflection of God. That's what it's all about. It's all about Yedias Hashem, which is Yedias HaEmes, which is knowledge of truth. Now, if that's the case, if Mashiach is really a search for truth, and Mashiach is second to none except for Moshe Rabbeinu and having knowledge of truth, and people will establish a Mashiach and let him reign because they're all searching for that truth, then already we have somewhat of a solution to the problem. Because we could say that if people are searching for truth, they'll probably find truth. It's like I say, if I would tell you that there'll eventually be a cure for AIDS, you would say, yeah, it's probably right. Sooner or later, if people are looking for it, they're going to find it, if it's there. If there's truth in the world, and people are looking for it, and that's what most people really want, they really want to seek truth deep down, then they'll find it eventually. And it's just a question of time. So, basically, put it simply, if you know what you're looking for, then eventually you'll probably find it. And then we have the world as now, we look at the history of the world the way the Rambam understands it, and we say, we started out before Avraham Avinu with a world of Ovdei Avodah Zarah, people who are worshipping idols. Avraham gets the idea, the notion of one God. And he's, in a sense, when you read the Rambam in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, in the laws of Avodah Zarah, and he talks about Avraham, he's talking about Avraham, the great philosopher. And then you have Moshe, which is also, if you read the Rambam's Guide for the Perplexed, there's no question about it that the Moshe is just the greatest philosopher that ever lived. He's searching for truth. So we go from Avraham, just the notion of one God, to Moshe, who has revelation of God, Torah and mitzvahs, not only just the idea and the concepts of God, but how to live and how to live a life which brings you to God. And then the Rambam says something interesting. As history goes on, the Rambam, in a censored version of the Mishneh Torah, which you could find these days, but it's not in your traditional Rambam, the Rambam talks about, after he talks about Mashiach, he talks about the rise of Christianity and Islam. And he says, just quoting shortly, he says, thus that Christianity and Islam are not such bad things to have happened to the Jews. Actually, when you read the Igeres HaTeiman, his letter to Yemen, he actually says it's the worst thing that ever happened. You know, Jesus was horrible, and in his name they're killing everybody. Muhammad's a madman. He says that many times, Muhammad the madman. And these are very bad people, and the Rambam lived through very harsh times. The people in Yemen were living under harsh times. The Rambam traveled from country to country because of it. There's no question about it. But in his Mishneh Torah, he actually says that they serve a good purpose in this world. Why? Because they're spreading Torah. At the end of the day, the Christians took our Torah, and they had a notion of one God. And the Rambam actually holds that Christianity is not such a great monotheistic religion. But Islam, in the Rambam, is the greatest religion besides Judaism because they have a really strict belief in one God. So Christianity and Islam now have spread the notion of monotheism and even good works and mitzvah sheva mitzvah noach to a large degree throughout at least the Western world. And they conquered the world with those ideas. So the Rambam says, thus the messianic hope, the Torah, and the commandments have become familiar topics throughout the world. The world now knows about these ideas. The world is moving in a good direction, according to the Rambam. We move from everybody being an Ovid of Avodah Zarah to Avram, to Moshe, to Klal Yisrael, to the whole Western world already has certain notions. He says it's a corrupt version, but they already have it. It's in their mouths. So now, really, we have more or less the answer to the question. God is saying, or the Rambam, I should say, is saying, he says God is saying that Kvar Havticha Torah, the Torah says for sure it will happen, because truth is really what the goal is. Olam Haba, knowledge of God and truth, is what we have to strive for. And if we're going to strive for that, and the world is going to strive for that, it's going to happen sooner or later. Truth will be found. If we search for something, it will happen. And therefore, God could say, even b'minhaga shel olam, even in the normal way of the world, eventually the Jews will do tshuva and they will find God. There's only one problem: the timeline. How long could it take? What I just described could take 100 years, 1,000 years, 5,000, 10,000. Who knows how many years it could take? And we have a famous gemara which everybody knows, and it's pretty much taught in every school. Amar Rav Katina, Shis Alfe Shani Havi Alma. There are 6,000 years to the world, and then there's going to be one of destruction. The 7,000, from 6,000 to 7,000, it's going to be a completely destroyed world. And we have a ton of Devei Eliyahu says, Shnei Alafim Tov, for 2,000 years, the world will be empty and void, meaning without Torah, the Gemara is the Medrash understanding it. Shnei Alafim Torah, Shnei Alafim Torah, 2,000 years will be of Torah. Shnei Alafim Yimosa Mashiach, and 2,000 years of Mashiach, which we understand not to be actually 2,000 years, but possibly in those 2,000 years. When this was said, it probably was still possible that it would be 2,000 years before the 6,000 years to Mashiach. But we understand it today, saying, no, Mashiach will have to come before the year 6,000, right? What year are we in now? 5772. That leaves us, little math, 228 years, right? I got that right? Uh-huh. Throw in another 100 years, okay? I'm sorry. Oh, so, sorry. It's worse. Sorry. Okay. Take off 100 years. Okay. It doesn't matter to me. I don't know if I'm going to live that long anyway, so we won't be able to test this out for sure. If Mashiach comes before, we've tested it out. We've proven. But if not, right, we're running out of time. And we're running out of time. By the way, I think this is a dangerous measure to teach, because it really works for us. The Rambam, by the way, was guilty of something similar. And as Igeres Taimon, after he says you should never, ever predict the timing of Mashiach, he says, but I have a family tradition. It's going to come in the year, the Rambam says it's not clear, but it's either the year 1210 or 1216. He doesn't actually say that Mashiach is going to come. He says that prophecy will arise, and prophecy will be immediately or right before Mashiach comes. Whatever it is, 1210 has a long time gone, and the Rambam was wrong also. So he threw that out, obviously, because the people in Yemen were very upset. Mashiach, a false Mashiach, says, don't worry. He wrote that in the year 1172. He said, and don't worry, in about 40 years, Mashiach will come. But it's dangerous, because if in a couple hundred years, if you're teaching this Medrash, and Mashiach doesn't come, there's going to be problems. I hate to say it, but we've seen it in our own day, how sometimes you could be problems arise when you predict the coming of Mashiach, and Mashiach doesn't come. So, and it doesn't fit in with the Rambam, because the Rambam is telling us that Mashiach has to come. We have to do tshuva, because people will seek out, but it has to be natural. You can't predict it. It's something which hopefully will come. Maybe we're going on the way. Maybe we'll have the next 100 years, but we don't know for sure. So, you know what? It's not a problem, this Medrash, according to the Rambam, because the Rambam says we don't agree with this Medrash. We don't hold like this Medrash. So, quoting the Rambam in the Guide for the Perplexed, sort of almost derech agav, almost in passing, he doesn't really discuss Mashiach, but a couple of times he mentions it. He says, for when the latter say the world lasts 6,000 years, I'm a little before that, when the world lasts 6,000 years and 1,000 is it a waste, first he gives an answer, doesn't really mean it can be destroyed. But then he says, so this Medrash, he says, besides, it is the saying of an individual. It's a shitas yachid. It's only one person who holds that. That corresponds to a certain manner of thinking. On the other hand, you constantly find that the opinion of all sages, the Rambam does this all the time. He just finished saying, well, there are opinions that say otherwise, but all sages say this. So it's not really true. but you walk away with thinking all sages. He says it's only one individual. And I'm reading again. The other hand, you constantly find is the opinion of all sages, and as a foundation on which everyone among the sages of the Mishnah and the sages of the Talmud bases his proof, his saying, there is nothing new under the sun. Same thing as Olam Kamin Haganag. The world, Ein Chodesh Tachas Hashem, is nothing new. We're not going to have miracles. And here the Rambam is arguing for something else completely. He's actually arguing that the world will not end. The world will last forever. It's not true that the world will end. He's agreeing with Aristotle that the world will last forever. And the view that nothing new will be produced in any respect from any cause whatever. So the Rambam says the world will last forever. It's not going to end in the year 6000. Again, there's Midrashim otherwise. It's popularly taught today. The Ramban and others and great rabbinic thinkers obviously held that way. But the Rambam does not. And the Rambam therefore says that we really have no problem anymore because Mashiach can come when the Jews do tshuva. The Jews will do tshuva because people are seeking the truth. And it will happen eventually. And the Rambam, let me just ask another question. Okay, we'll leave it at that. We'll ask one more question. I'm sorry. This is also important. I apologize. The Rambam also says that Mashiach will last forever. Right? Now, once Mashiach comes, if the world's going to last, the way we understand it until now, most people think Mashiach's going to come till the year 6000, then the world's going to get destroyed, then it's going to come back, it's Chiyas HaMesim, and the world will be a resurrection of the dead forever. The Rambam holds very different about Chiyas HaMesim, it's for another time, what he holds about the resurrection. He holds only it's a temporary and not a permanent miracle. But he says, but Mashiach, though, will last forever. Again, in the Guide for the Perplexed, with regard to the permanence of the possession by Israel of kingly role, calls it permanence. With regard to the permanence of the king that is the Messiah and the Israeli kingdom not being destroyed after that, he says that it will last forever. Once Mashiach comes, he's here to stay. He better be good. So the question is the minhag ha'olam, is the nature of the world for things to last forever, you should ask? Well, nothing lasts forever. So the Rambam says, no, don't worry. He says it does. He says, l'fisha chachamim amru, chachamim say, and by the way, this is a quote from Aristotle, when something gathers, when good is gathered together, it cannot easily or speedily be dissipated. When you have political good coming about, you have a strong country and it works and it makes sense, it doesn't fall apart. The Third Reich didn't last forever for a very good reason. It wasn't good. It couldn't possibly have last forever, even though Hitler had such a notion. So therefore, it's going to last. It could last forever, and the Rambam actually in his Hakdamah Techelik also says, I'm running out of time, but I'll try to be quick here. The Emet Moshe Deskay Malchusa Apayim Min Hashem. He says, don't worry, don't wonder that Mashiach shouldn't be able to last for thousands of years. And he's getting that from a Gemara which says in Sanhedrin, there's an argument, will Mashiach be 40 years, 400 years, 365 years, or one says 7,000 years? And the Rambam in the Guide again says, oh, for the Hebrews denote multiplicity by the number 7. Don't take 7 literally. Even 7,000 years doesn't mean 7,000 years. That's a way of saying it's forever. The Rambam says once Mashiach is going to come, it will last forever. Why? Because something which a political good will last long, but not only political good, but joy and of faith and ideas which are true will last forever. Again, the Rambam in the Guide, he says, those states of faith and of joy, those states of faith and of joy in that faith will always be permanently established, permanently. For the faith in God and the joy in that faith are states that cannot cease or ever be altered in all those who have attained them. So basically what the Rambam is saying is that if you have a belief that's true, if you have truth that becomes part and parcel of the way the world works, and if you seek that, and if you give it enough time, God says that's certainly going to happen. And there's one last question which I think is important. There's a number of issues that have to be discussed, but one last question that you must ask is, okay, we're going to have a Jewish state, we're going to seek truth, it's going to be politically good, and all the Jews are constantly going to vote for Mashiach over and over and over again, which, by the way, the Rambam says Mashiach doesn't last live forever. He'll die and his son will take over. But that state of goodness will last forever. But what about the non-Jews? The non-Jews will say, okay, now we're going to attack. So the Rambam answers that also. That's not a problem because Mashiach is not just for the Jews. V'yavduhu kol ha'aretzos, the Rambam says in Chelek. Right? All of the nations will serve Mashiach. Right? What does he say? I think I quoted before. Kimola aretz deyas Hashem. It's not just the Jews, but the whole land, the whole earth will be filled of knowledge of God. And again, I'm quoting different places in Mishneh Torah. V'yavo kol ha'goyim l'shomo. All of the nations will come to listen to him. V'yisakin es ha'olam kulo l'avodas Hashem. He, Mashiach, will repair the world that it will all serve God b'yachad together, as it says, "Likra kulam b'shem Hashem." We're all calling the name of God, "Ula avdan shchemecha," and to serve Him with one consent. The world will only be involved in knowing God. And basically, what we have, I think, we could end with that. There's many different aspects of the belief in Mashiach according to the Rambam, but simply put, the Rambam is saying, Mashiach has to come because we are going to search for truth. It's a natural thing. It could take a long time. It has taken a long time. It could happen soon. It could happen later. But eventually it will happen. And when Mashiach comes, when the ultimate good comes, when people seek truth, truth will last. And I think maybe just to take it as a lesson for our life in general, that if you work towards something and it really makes sense, whether that's a good relationship or ideas, those ideas have lasting ability. And there's no reason why you shouldn't take part within yourself. It shouldn't take hold within yourself. And really, once you establish, in a sense, goodness or happiness, and the happiness is rooted in a seeking and finding of truth, that truth shouldn't last for you forever. Leave you with that. I don't think we have time for questions. Huh? One question. Okay. If I understand your question, is the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash and his Tisha B'Av inevitable? Yeah. Right. I would only have 1 minute. I would say it's not necessarily inevitable. The Medrash says that if the Jews kept Shabbos for two Shabbos, the Mashiach would have come. So the Medrash is saying, Moshe would have gone into Eretz Yisrael, built the Beis Hamikdash. There would be no Tisha B'Av. So to say that Tisha B'Av had to come, I would say no. To say that there's times which things, bad things do happen and keep reoccurring, I would say yes, that's true. In our own life, we see that happens. But it doesn't have to happen. And eventually, things could play out in a way which Tisha B'Av will be. It says Karlai Moed. It's called a Moed. It's called a. That's why we don't say Tachlin today, because we say that Tisha B'Av is not necessarily fated to be a day of sadness. It could be a day of joy also.